moving along. Let's go ahead and go into tradition 9, which is Louie. Are you going to hand the camera over to your...
Okay. Thank you, Renee. My name's Louie. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm going to do tradition 9. And well, I wasn't going to do this, but my sobriety date is March 28th, 1981. And when I came at AA, there were people in the meetings that didn't like the 12x12.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like burning a cross or something to even have that in your hand, you know. But that was only a few. And I think a lot of people finally got over that. But I remember the first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous I ever went to. And it was because of Al-Anon. And not that I was an Al-Anon member, but my ex-wife was. And she kept bringing these pamphlets home and laying them on my chair where I sat. So I would pick up the pamphlets and use them for coasters because I didn't want to put rings on the coffee table. And so anyway, to make a long story short, I got a drunk driving ticket, another one. And I promised her that I would go to an AA meeting. And Monday morning, I called Alcoholics Anonymous, and there was this cheerful person on the other end of the line. And I couldn't figure out why she was so cheerful, because I was totally miserable. And so she told me that she started reading off all these different AA meetings that were on Monday. And I said to her, I go, well, because I was a veteran, I said, well, do you have any meetings that veterans go to? And there was this big pause on the other end of the line because I thought I was really unique, you know, and because I was a veteran and an alcoholic and whatever, you know. But anyway, she paused and then she said, well, there is a meeting at the VA hospital on Wednesday night. And I said to her, I go, perfect. And she gave me the time and address. And so in my mind, I'm saying, I have 2 more days of drinking. So, and I did that, but I showed up to that AA meeting and drunk and I was there early because I like to be prompt, and I was helping the secretary put the chairs out in this big hall. And I sat down, you know, after we got the chairs up and people started coming in, and the secretary came over to me and said, would you read a portion of chapter 5 for us? And I didn't do very good in school. I wasn't a good reader, but I said yes for some reason. And they called on me to read the portion of chapter 5 after the meeting got started. And that was the longest thing I had ever read in my entire life. And I thought the meeting was going to be over by the time I finished the portion of chapter 5. But anyway, the meeting was over, and what I heard was, all you need is a desire to stop drinking. That's what I heard. And I got it in my head, I got this. It's total willpower, just need a desire. I can do this. And I got in the elevator to leave. Two AA members jumped in the elevator behind me, and they're laughing and joking. And the one member looked at the other one and said, boy, you could really tell who's been drinking in this elevator. And I looked at those other two, and I'm trying to figure out which one of those two were drinking. Didn't know, they knew it was me, you know. But anyway, I got home and I told my ex, I said, they told me the secret. All I need is a desire to stop drinking. And that worked. I didn't go to any more AA meetings, but it worked for 3 months. And then I had one beer, and the last thing I remember is just that one beer, and I ended up in the drunk tank a week later. So I went in a total blackout. And that was the end of my ending, or the beginning of my ending, because I took it for another 7 months and picked up a few more drunk drivings and hit my bottom and finally came in AA with that incomprehensible demoralization and total desperation. I had no idea how I was going to get rid of this mountain of troubles I was in. But anyway, Tradition 9 states that, and this is in short form, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Now, what? No organization? What do you mean, no organization? This must seem completely crazy to the rest of the world's population. How can you have an organization with no organization? So anyway, this is a total baffling tradition here. But here's the kicker. And it states that there is something unique in Alcoholics Anonymous. Unless each AA member follows to the best of his or her ability are suggested 12 steps to recovery, he or she almost certainly signs his or her own death warrant. Their drunkenness and disillusion are not penalties inflicted by people in authority. They are the result of his or her personal disobedience to spiritual principles. And to take it a step further, the same stern threat applies to the group itself. Unless there is an approximate conformity to AA's 12 traditions, the group too can deteriorate and die. Just as the aim of each AA member is personal sobriety, the aim of our services is to bring sobriety within reach of all who want it. If nobody does the group chores, if the area's telephones rings unanswered, if we do not reply to our mail, then AA as we know it would stop. Our communications lines with those who need it, who need our help, would be broken. Now, by creating and maintaining this atmosphere of true fellowships, Alcoholics Anonymous groups ensure that even the newest member can quickly gain a feeling of belonging. Any member of the group can request that a business meeting be held separate from the group's regular meeting time for the discussion of any issue that affects the group as a whole. After this discussion of this issue, during which all members have the opportunity to express their opinions, the group votes on this issue. The majority vote decides the question. There's also a minority opinion which can be discussed in the business meeting. This gives the opportunity for the minority opinions to be discussed also, so everyone present can hear both sides of the proposal. Now, when I was a brand new GSR, I was 2 years sober. I was brand new, and I end up in a area assembly, and they were discussing a proposal, and they were discussing it. People were going up to the mic and giving their opinions on it, and then we had a vote on it, and the vote was overwhelmingly passed. And the secretary of the area said, "Is there any minority opinions?" And, you know, several people came up to the mic and they discussed their minority opinion on the issue. And after a time went by and everybody had their chance to share on the minority opinion, the secretary said, "We're going to hold another vote." And they held another vote. And now the minority opinion was the majority, and the proposal did not pass. And that just really opened my eyes up to how much power that we have to sway a vote one way or another, because it's not just the majority, it's also the minority. And so the power in AA is with the expression of each individual. In this manner, the group maintains unity by providing an atmosphere in which all voices are heard, from the oldest long timer to the newcomer, and everyone has an equal voice and a vote. Now, in closing, I just want you to remember the most important person that walks into a group of Alcoholics Anonymous is the newcomer. Without him or her, we will surely die as individuals and as a whole. And thank you very much for letting me share this.
Way to go. Thank you, Louie. Woo! Great job.
Thank you.